This is The Janet Murray Show, episode 266.
You're listening to The Janet Murray Show. Tune in every week for practical marketing advice that will help you make more money in your business. And now, here's your host, Janet Murray.
This episode is part of a series of podcasts on how to get more engagement on social media. This episode is on how to get more engagement on Instagram. Also in this series, episode 264, how to get more engagement on your Facebook page. Episode 265, how to get more engagement in your Facebook group. Episode 267, how to get more engagement on Twitter. And episode 268, how to get more engagement on LinkedIn. So first off, a bit of a disclaimer. Now, I wouldn't say for a minute that I have a massive audience on Instagram. In fact, compared to my other social media platforms, my following there is actually quite small. But what I do get on Instagram, this is true of all of my social media platforms, is I do get really good engagement. And if you've been following along with this series, you'll have heard me say several times already, it's not about the numbers. You could have just 200 followers on a particular account, but if they're really engaged, if they're talking to you about everything that you post, if they're feeding back to you, that could actually be better for you and your business than having tens of thousands of followers. It really isn't about the numbers, it's about the engagement. And just to put this into context for you, so I've got just over 3,000, I think I'm on 3,050 followers as I record this episode. Now, if you compare me to a big account, like someone like Sarah Tasker, who I interviewed back in episode 93, now, she is the Instagram queen. She's got 175,000 followers on Instagram. And on each of her posts, she gets like thousands of likes sometimes because her pictures are absolutely gorgeous. And she gets about 200 to 300 comments. So just having a look, on average, I'd say between 200 to 300 comments. I average about 50 comments on my posts, but I've only got 3,000 followers. So actually, if you look at those two figures together, my engagement is actually not that bad. And I used, even last year when I didn't have as many followers on Instagram, I certainly sold lots of diaries via Instagram. So my media diary, that's my A4 desk diary, where you can use it for your media planning. That's coming out again next month. And I'm certainly going to be using Instagram a lot in order to promote that diary. And certainly, even though I've only got a small following and it was actually quite a lot smaller last year, I certainly sold diaries via Instagram. So this is why I feel qualified to share my thoughts on what works on Instagram. I'm not claiming to be an expert in any way. I'm not an expert on Instagram, but what I am good at, and I know this, is getting people to talk to me and engage with me on whatever social media platform it is. I am good at getting engagement. So that's what I'm going to share with you, is my engagement strategies on this particular platform. So I'm going to share with you 6 tips that you can use to increase your engagement on Instagram. So the first point to make really is that Instagram is a visual platform. It's all about the pictures. So if you have great images, it goes without saying really that your content is going to do better on there. Now, so a few accounts that you might want to have a look at. So first off, there is Sarah Tasker's account. So I interviewed Sarah back in episode 93. She's coming back on the show soon. And her account, Me and Orla, is amazing, amazing photography, amazing engagement. And Sarah works with, you won't be surprised to hear, with big brands, and she's an Instagram coach and all of that. Another one that I really like, and I'll link to all of these in the show notes, is A Beautiful Mess. That's got around 583 followers, that account. And another one, I'm going to mention somebody who's in my Soulful PR studio, my membership community. That's Renee Gray. Now, Renee hasn't been at it as long. She's got about 10,000 followers, but her feed is absolutely beautiful. And we were having a conversation. I have, for my Soulful PR studio, on a Wednesday afternoon, we have a group coaching call. We call it our office out. And what we did this week was one of our members was finding it challenging to get engagement on Instagram. So we spent the session looking at her Instagram account together. We did some other stuff as well. And we all gave her feedback on how she could improve, and we gave her tips on engagement. Now, Renee's account is so beautiful, and this is a Gray Life, I'll link to it in the show notes, that she almost doesn't have to do some of the things that I'm going to share with you later, because the images are so beautiful that they kind of speak for themselves, and people like the images and they comment on the images just because they're so beautiful and the feed looks beautiful. But Renee did share that when she first started out on that account, even to get to 10,000 followers, she had to work really hard and she had to spend a lot of time over on other people's accounts, commenting and liking their stuff and building up conversations. Now, the kind of posts, if you see the kind of updates that that Rini shares, and this is probably similar to Sarah Tasker and A Beautiful Mess, they're often quite kind of like ethereal, and they're just kind of statements or quotes or whatever that kind of leave you thinking. And I think if you have an Instagram feed where you have really stunning images, if that's your thing, then you can get away with that. I think those of us who are not quite so good on the photography front, we're not quite so artistic, we have to work a bit harder to get engagement. And that's really what I'm going to focus on. If you're an amazing photographer and you can use some of the techniques I'm going to share to get more people to look at your photos, then you probably don't need to worry so much about writing really engaging posts and updates. But I think for most of us who are maybe not that kind of talented or maybe experienced it, or we've got other things to do, we have to think a little bit more about how we actually engage people and get people to talk to us on Instagram. That's really going to be the focus of this episode. The other thing to say as well, if you're listening to this and thinking, oh my God, well, photography is not my thing, I'm not artistic. And just to reassure you, that's how I used to feel I was not artistic at all. And actually, through spending time on Instagram, I realized I'm a lot more artistic than I think I am. I'm a lot more creative than I think I am. And, you know, and in that way, it's just been a great thing for me to do. But actually, consistency is key on Instagram. There are accounts where people just show a picture of their breakfast every day, or they show a picture of burnt toast or a picture of rubbish outside their house. It's all about consistency. So it isn't actually always about beauty. It can just be about showing up and doing the same thing every single day. One of my favorite accounts is called the Coffee Mania blog, and that's got about 18,000 followers. And they just post different pictures of coffee every single day, coffee cups and different kind of styled pictures of coffee cups. And I quite like coffee. I quite like looking at that one. Another really popular one, which does the same thing every day, is the Gay Beards. And these two guys, I think I've talked about them on the show before. And they take pictures of themselves with their beards. Like, they dress it up at Christmas. They put tinsel and baubles on their beards, and they ended up getting loads of press coverage. But basically, it's just the two of them every day and pictures of their beards, like, styled up in different ways. And that's the account, but people love it. Another account which comes to mind, actually, which is about consistency. So one of my students in my Soulful PR studio, my membership community, Mary Huckle, she's a Pilates instructor, but her cat has an Instagram account that's got loads more followers than hers. And her cat is really beautiful. It's called Kai the Bengal Cat. I hope I'm saying that right. And she's got around 8,000 followers for these beautiful, and she just posts pictures of the cat every day. And it's a beautiful cat and people love it and follow it. Another one that comes to mind is Bookish Bronte. So she is an author, a teenage author, but she posts pictures of herself with books in various different positions. I'm not describing it very well. If you go and have a look, I'll link to all of these in the show notes. You can go and sort of try some of them out. But she has all sorts of poses of hers with different kind of books stacked up, books open, book print, all sorts of different creative things. She does themed colours. And when you go to her account, you know, she might do like 30 squares that are yellow. She might do 30 squares that kind of got a blue theme or whatever. But when you go to her account, it's like you know what you're going to see. There's a kind of expectation. And actually, that's quite good. People like that on Instagram. Another one I really like, which doesn't have loads of followers, but has that kind of theme going through it, is City Girl Coffee, which I think is just like a coffee company in the States. And again, it's just kind of pictures of coffee and coffee beans every day. And I like coffee, so I quite like looking at that account. So it doesn't have to be perfect content. It just has to be consistent. And one of the conversations that we were having actually in my coaching call earlier this week, when we were talking to Rini Gray, who's got A Gray Life, that's the Instagram account that I mentioned earlier, is that actually consistency can be kind of messy consistency. So when I started really getting into Instagram about a year ago, I used to kind of do my own Instagram photography sessions and I used to style things or whatever. But actually what I've noticed works really well on my account is pictures of me. They don't have to be professional photos. They do better if they are. But actually, people do like to see that every kind of fifth or sixth post. I have a picture of myself. I sometimes sprinkle in feedback cards. I've got these funky looking feedback cards. And I remember that Sarah Tasker, the Instagram expert, she suggested to me that I use those as a kind of regular feature in my feed. So they kind of pop up as well. I tend to use logos or artwork, and that's something that pops up quite regularly. So it may well be that when people look at your whole feed together, you might feel, and I sometimes feel this a little bit about mine, is that it looks a bit messy. It doesn't look like some of those kind of really stylish, stylized accounts. But people come to know what to expect from your account, and they come to know your voice and your style, and they like it anyway. And I think that's really, really important. So it doesn't have to be perfect. And what I'm talking about there really is something that my guests on episode 179, Andrew and Pete, we talked about how to, you know, create content that people actually kind of really, really want to engage with, and how to avoid content crickets. That's the phrase that they coin for creating content that nobody looks at or engages with. And they shared on that episode the concept of having a content stamp. And we had quite a funny conversation when they talked about what they thought my content stamp was. And they thought my content stamp was about kind of being controversial and sometimes asking questions and getting a bit more personal than people might like. And actually, that's really what works really well on my feed. So I ask a lot of questions. Like this week, I've been asking, should you share pictures of your children in your social media marketing? I've been asking people about how they deal with trolls and haters. And that is kind of my content stamp. And that kind of works for me because people know that when they come to my feed, they're probably going to get asked a question and they're going to get asked to engage with something and say what they think. And that's my content stamp. So I think that can work really, really well. Another few quick tips to think about. When I was first starting out with my Instagram account, just a really simple thing, but Sarah Tasker said to me just to alternate light and dark photos. And so if you go and look on my feed, and I'm at Jan Murray UK, if you want to go and look at my feed while you're listening, you'll see that it's a very simple thing that I do, but it does kind of make my account look a bit more neater. And again, it's that thing that when people come to my account, they kind of know what to expect. And I think if you're somebody that finds the whole idea of coming up with regular content for Instagram quite challenging, you could do that. You could alternate between a photo that you've taken yourself or a kind of, you know, stylish looking photo and a kind of meme or something like that that you've created using something like Canva or PicMonkey. Although I have to say, personally, I'm a little bit tired of seeing all of those kind of quotes and everyone kind of just comments and goes, oh yeah, that's really great or whatever. I think if you can try and be a little bit different. That's why my quote cards, my testimonial cards for my events, they're just a little bit different. People like to see handwriting as well because they have to kind of like get in a bit closer and look. But, you know, certainly kind of alternating the types of content that you do and doing it in a consistent way so people kind of, you know, they come to expect what they're going to see. I think that can work really, really well. So my second tip would be, so obviously, first of all, Instagram is a visual platform, so make sure you're looking after the visuals. But secondly, ask questions. And I think this is really important. If you're on Instagram and you're not a photographer and you're not somebody who's going to get engagement just because your photos are so beautiful, and hands up, I totally count myself in that group, then you have to find other strategies and other ways of getting people to engage with you and comment. So what I do is I ask questions all the time. So I might share a piece of artwork. So I might say, look, this is the logo that I've got in mind for my upcoming media diary. So I'm going to have a media diary owners club. So it'd be like a kind of membership that people can belong to if they buy one of my media diaries, which will give them extra resources and extra support. So I've shared different ideas that we've got for the logo for that. I've shared artwork for upcoming events and asked people what they've thought of it. I asked people for my Soulful PR for Starters PR course. I was thinking about making a physical workbook for that. So I shared a picture, like a mock-up, and said, what do you think? Would you like to have a physical book? And then, you know, the key tip I would give you about that, and I certainly talked about this in episode 192, 194, is to be specific. So if you're going to ask people what they think about something, don't leave it all kind of woolly and open-ended. So what I generally will say is, do you like to have a physical workbook when you're doing a course? A, yes, I do. B, no, I don't. It's not good for the environment. C, I'm not really bothered, or whatever it might be. The more specific you can be and the easier you can make it for people to engage. If they're busy, they can just literally get their thumb and go A, B, C or whatever. Then the more likely they are to engage. I would mix it up a little bit though. I've noticed since I've started using these A, B, C posts, a lot of people are doing it as well, which is great. And I'm really happy that I'm inspiring people. But I'm very, very conscious of the fact that although it's working really well, that you don't want your audience to become tired. So there's a kind of balance between that consistency. People know what to expect from you. But you know, today, for example, on my Instagram, I've posted a different type of question, which is just more encouraging people to share their feelings because I don't want people to kind of look at my account every day and think they're going to get an ABC and become bored with my account, basically. So I think that's quite important. So whatever you're doing, whatever it is, just think, how could I turn this into a question? How could I actually get people to talk back to me? That is the key question you need to ask yourself. I see so many people on Instagram, and particularly people with product-based businesses. And again, if you've already got a massive account and you know you're like, you know, those shorts like Chubbies or something, and people kind of love your brand already, then you can probably just post pictures of your shorts every single day and everybody would go, oh, that's really great or whatever. But actually, if you're just starting out, you're going to have to work a bit harder. And I see particularly people who have beauty product-based businesses, and every single photo just says, our serum is made out of these ingredients and it smells really nice. And every single post says that. And you're like, well, why would anyone want to engage with you on that at all? So in that scenario, let's say, for example, you have got a skincare business, then I would ask people, you know, you could ask a simple question like, this is our new cleanser. You know, do you cleanse before you tone and moisturise? Or what's your beauty routine? Or do you use a moisturiser? Do you use a tinted moisturiser? Just ask people questions about your product. People love talking about themselves. And what you want to do is just get them on the topic of whatever it is that you make or sell. So if you make stationery, if you make notebooks, then ask people's opinions. You know, do you prefer, I saw somebody asking on social media the other day, I saw a really nice picture and somebody said, you know, do you like to do everything digitally these days or do you prefer pen and paper? I actually went and responded to that because even though I'm really big into my digital stuff, I still like to kind of plan stuff out in a notebook, pen and paper. So whatever it is that you're creating, just try and find a way to turn it into a question and get people to talk to you. And the less that you can think about selling, the more that you'll sell. I know that probably sounds a little bit kind of contradictory, but the more you can just think about having conversations with people, because while people are on your thread talking about whatever it is that you've started talking about, then they're going to keep seeing your products and your business name and your products' names are going to get stuck in their head. But if you're too afraid to do that because all you want to do is sell, then you're just going to get crickets. You're going to get nobody engaging with your stuff at all. A few examples of questions that I've asked over the last week. So I often ask on a Saturday, I often simply say, this is what I'm doing at the weekend and share a picture of what I'm doing at the weekend and say, what are you up to? People generally engage really well with that one. I have asked, and I mentioned this already, should you share pictures of your children on social media? That's a really good one because people have got quite strong opinions about it and I gave options. So A, yes, it's absolutely fine. B, yes, but only if you have their permission. C, no, it's an invasion of their privacy. And D, it's actually, you know, detrimental to their safety. And that actually got quite a lot of discussion going. So the other one that I asked as well, so if you've got content coming out, so if you've got a podcast episode coming out or a blog coming out or something like that, then asking a question that relates to the content. So instead of just saying, hey, have a listen to my new podcast episode, then, you know, so for example, you know, last week my podcast episode was about how to get more engagement in your Facebook group. So instead of just posting the cover to my latest podcast episode, I say, have you got a Facebook group? A, yes. B, no, I'd like to have one. C, no, it's something that I don't think would work for my business. And the interesting thing about that as well is not only can you then say to people who say, B, I'd like to have one, you can then say, well, have listened to this episode because you'll get some tips. But even the C's, you can say to them, well, why haven't you got one? Why do you think it wouldn't work for your business? And you may actually be able to convert somebody. You might be able to persuade somebody to go and listen to your podcast episode or read your blog post or whatever. So the key thing is just to just be constantly having conversations with people. The other thing, my next tip would be obviously to use hashtags. So I would really recommend that if you are wanting to, you know, really get in front of the right people on Instagram, then you find some accounts that really represent your ideal customer, the kind of people that you want to reach. Now, I've talked about this in previous episodes. What I don't want you to do is to go and look for accounts for an ideal customer that you'd love to sell your stuff to, but you're not selling to at the moment, like your kind of ideal customer. I want you to actually find people who are actually buying your stuff at the moment, because people who are like the people who are already buying your stuff are much more likely to buy. So find some accounts that really represent the kind of people that you're already selling to and would love to sell more to, and have a look at what hashtags they're using and try and use those hashtags too. Now, this does take time. It does take effort, but it really is worth it. I see so many people on Instagram who are just going on every day and mindlessly posting a photo without thinking about how that's going to engage the people that they want to reach. And I just think, okay, you could spend 10 minutes a day doing that and get no engagement whatsoever, or you could spend 20 minutes, half an hour initially, get much better engagement, and that will set you up for the future. Because I think once you get to the stage where you get to a certain number of followers, you know, you don't need to put, you know, Sarah Tasker does not need to put the same effort into her. Obviously, her photographs are fantastic, but she probably doesn't have to put the same kind of effort and thought that the rest of us do into getting that engagement, because her content speaks for itself. She already has raving fans, a big audience. And I've noticed actually she shouldn't post as often as she used to, probably because she doesn't need to. So have a think about that. A useful resource for you actually might be to have a look. Sarah Tasker has a newsletter that she sends out every month. It's a hashtag newsletter. It's really useful. She sends out the kind of the latest hashtags. And I know that lots of you listening probably have similar audiences to her. So it'd be worth signing up for her newsletter. It's just really interesting to see what kind of hashtags she suggests that she uses, and might help you with some tips on how to do your research. Another thing you might consider doing is starting your own hashtag. I've got Soulful PR, Soulful PR podcast. I've also started a hashtag which you might want to join in on, which is called Insta Love Sunday. And on a Sunday, I post in my Facebook group, which is the Soulful PR Facebook community. And I invite people to share their accounts and to go over and comment, not to go and like each other's stuff or follow, but actually to go and comment and go and engage and use that hashtag. It's not massive, the hashtag, but it's a little corner of the internet that I've claimed for myself. So you might be able to do the same. Sarah Tasker has the hashtag Authentic Podcast that has its own hashtag, which is great. And if hashtags are a new idea for you, it's basically something that groups together posts or content on a similar kind of theme. So if you go and have a look at hashtags and say, well, you know, when I look at this content, does it kind of resonate with me? Do I think it's the kind of thing that would resonate with the kind of people I want to reach? Then it's probably a good one for me to use too as well. So my next tip would be to either start or join an Instagram pod. Now, an Instagram pod is basically a group message where you get together and think you can have 15 people in your pod. And you agree to comment and like on each other's posts. Now, you can take this really, really seriously and you can all agree a time. Like you could all say, Monday, midday, we're all going to comment on each other's posts. We're all going to post something new and then go and comment, because the received wisdom is that Instagram rewards engagement the most within the first 15 minutes. I don't know how true that is, but certainly I've heard that from many, many sources. And that seems to be what the pods are grounded in. It's not particularly practical to do that. I've got a number of Instagram pods that I run mainly for my Soulful PR membership community. And we just make a commitment to comment on each other's stuff every day. Now, I have heard, and I know there's some people that feel quite strongly that they're not a good idea because they go against the spirit of Instagram and all this kind of stuff. And actually, Emily Quinton and her husband, who are behind MakeLight, Emily's going to be on the podcast hopefully in a few weeks, which is quite exciting. I know that they've created some videos about why they think it's not a great idea, and I'll link to those in the show notes and you can make a decision for yourself. But personally, I feel when I'm going to check somebody out, when I'm thinking about working with somebody, if I go over to a social media account and there's no engagement, no genuine engagement, then I immediately kind of think, But with an Instagram pod, and I would say that the pods that I run and involved in, we are actually kind of genuinely friends. And so we comment each other's stuff. We don't just put, hey, nice photo. We actually kind of have conversations with each other. And I think if you're going to get involved in an Instagram pod, that's what you need to be aiming for, is actually genuine friendships. And actually what happens in the pods that I'm involved in is that if someone's having a bad day or something's going on, people will start chatting to each other inside. It is kind of like a friendship. It is a community. And I think as long as you treat it like that, rather than just to kind of like, you know, we're all just going to kind of go, hey, nice photo, whatever, then it will be beneficial to you. And I think if nothing else, when people come to your account, they'll see that it's busy and people are commenting. I'd probably recommend being in more than one, because if people come and look at your account and it's the same people every single day, if you're involved in a few pods, you know, and it is a little bit of commitment. You know, you can't expect people to comment on your stuff if you're not going to take the time to do theirs. But it's certainly been very helpful for me in terms of growing my following, but also just having friends on Instagram to talk about what's going on and to kind of share info and ideas and tips and that kind of thing. My next tip would be to use Instagram stories. So I've noticed that whenever I use Instagram stories, then I get more engagement on my post for that day. There's no hard and fast rules about how you use Instagram stories, but I tend to use it more for the kind of behind the scenes stuff. So I might share pictures if I've gone out to theatre or I'm out running in a race or something like that. I might share photos of that. But sometimes I might share a screenshot of my latest podcast episode. I might share some artwork and say, which do you prefer, A or B or whatever. But it tends to be a bit more rough and ready. I don't worry too much about the quality of my images or worry about everything looking kind of so perfect as I do on my Instagram feed. It's a little bit more rough and ready. And my last tip, and this is probably the most important thing I could share on this topic, and this is something that Renee Gray said in our chat on Wednesday afternoon in our membership community. And I think this should be like bottled, what she said. She said, when you first start out on Instagram, you have to spend more time on other people's accounts than your own. So I'm just going to say that again. So when you're first starting out on Instagram, or you're trying to grow your following, you need to spend more time on other people's accounts than your own. It's so, so important. How can you expect people to come over and comment and like your stuff? The algorithm is so complicated anyway on Instagram. There's so many things going on that if all you're doing is posting stuff and then kind of sitting back and waiting for people to come and look at it, no, we don't really know how the algorithm works and how Instagram is deciding who they should show your stuff to. But one thing that I know will encourage Instagram to show your content to more people, will encourage more people to come and engage with your account, is if you go over and you comment on other people's. And I would recommend when you're starting out, and I've done it myself, is you actually make spreadsheets. So if you've done that work where you're looking at, let me identify a number of kind of ideal accounts. What are they posting about? What hashtags are they using? I would actually have spreadsheets on the go of maybe 25, 50 accounts at one time that you're actually actively going through and commenting and, you know, targeting people that you want to make friends with. And, you know, that might sound a little bit kind of cold or whatever, but actually, you know, it's quite strategic. You know, if you're going to spend time on a platform, you're going to try and build an audience, then you may as well spend your time as strategically as possible and identifying people who you think, well, actually, you know, we could be mutually beneficial to each other, or I think there's a good fit here. I think this person would be interested. You know, for example, with my media diaries, I know that people who run creative businesses, makers, bloggers, those sorts of people, they're the kind of people who are going to want to know about my diary and going to want to buy my media diary. So they're the kind of people that I really need to be talking to and make sure that they know about me and know about my account. And it's about relationships. It's about friendships. People buy from people that they like. And by doing that kind of thing, by making some spreadsheets of some accounts and people you'd really like to connect with, and actually just taking some time every day to go and connect with them and to build that relationship, you will see the benefits in the long run. I hope you enjoyed this episode on how to get more engagement on Instagram. Also in this series, episode 264, how to get more engagement on your Facebook page. Episode 265, how to get more engagement in your Facebook group. Episode 267, how to get more engagement on Twitter. And episode 268, how to get more engagement on LinkedIn. You might also like episodes 213 and episode 93 with the Instagram expert, Sarah Tasker. And if you'd like to get access to a list of all my podcast episodes, you can download my free podcast guide at janetmurray.co.uk/podcastguide. That's janetmurray.co.uk/podcastguide.
You've just been listening to The Janet Murray Show. If you enjoyed the show, you can show your appreciation by leaving a review on iTunes. And don't forget to head over to www.janetmurray.co.uk for more marketing tips that will help you make more money in your business.